Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and our Paradigm Shifter tonight is one of your favorite, or shall I say, many of your favorites. So many of you have told me how much you appreciate Galexis, who is channeled through Ginger Matreau. So welcome to the show, Ginger and Galexis.
Well, thank you.
Well, so how's it going?
It happens to be Ginger right now.
I could tell that, actually, and it's nice to talk to you as well. And how is the shift going down there in L.A.? How's the shift going in your world?
It's quite profound.
Is it?
It's like I know so many people were making these huge pivotal shifts.
Like
shifts of direction, shifts of orientation, reevaluation of self. It's been pretty interesting, pretty huge.
So you're down in movie land. Do you think this shift is going to show up in the movies, Ginger?
Well, from where I am here and getting all the hints at all the local activities going on, I would say yes.
Okay.
There's so much that is being put together that is of a higher consciousness. It's just amazing.
Wow, that's so exciting.
I am really excited about it, and more and more and more is coming out.
Wow, and are you feeling bigger downloads, universal downloads of energy really kind of helping?
Well, I have to say, I'm participating in a unique experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking herbs that were sent from India and are from Siddha Masters.
Oh, wow.
Right, and the master that's sending these herbs is reportedly over 6,000 years old.
Oh my gosh, is he happy
about
that?
We have no idea. What's that?
I said, is he happy about that?
We have no idea, but people who see this guy in meditation say he laughs a lot, so I guess he is.
He's learned to let things go, probably. 6,000 years, that's a bit much. So how do you take them? Years ago, we used to take some off a spoon. They were kind of very fine powder, and they were through a chiropractor somewhere in the central part of the country. But they were prepared to release things like shame and grief and so on. What are these ones?
I think they can do things like that because since we've been taking the herbs, there's 40 of us doing this.
Mm-hmm.
We've all gone through tremendous amounts of personal transformation, detoxing on various levels, and we're coming to the conclusion of it, and I'm feeling that my energy field is being rebuilt in a very powerful way.
Wow.
So I can't really say that this is what's happening for a lot of people, but I certainly can see that I feel more empowered, more bright, more light, more free, you know, that kind of thing. I feel more connected.
Oh, great. And is Daniel?
Energy. Yeah, he's doing it too.
Mm-hmm. Is he feeling the same kind of thing?
Yes. Now, for your listeners, my husband Daniel is an energy healer. He heals people by gazing at them. And so he's noticed that he can look at a person and kind of adjust their spine and correct things. Now it's really going further, and he thinks the herbs have really increased his healing powers.
Uh-huh.
He can just look at people and all sorts of things happen now, positive healing.
Wow, how exciting. And how do you take them? Do you take them in capsules, or do you drink them in tea, or what do you do?
Well, they're little pills. And we just kind of suck on them.
And then your results are being tabulated?
Well, we participate together in a blog where we share what's going on. And it's interesting to see how other people are going through similar stuff, but at whatever focus or whatever level they're wanting to work on, you know.
And are they from all over the world?
Well, most of them are from Southern California, because the person who is the coordinator of this is here in L.A.
So I don't know. Do you want to name the organization, or do you want to leave that?
There's no organization. It's a personal friend who went over to India seeking healing and rejuvenation information and strategies, techniques, and substances and whatever to help that because of his wife's illness. And while he was there, he really got into meditating. He found he got connections into the siddhas. The siddhas are these beings who can transform the what you might think are the laws of nature, you know, mm-hmm. and they can just transcend it, and they can just and do all sorts of things that we'd think impossible, mm-hmm. physically speaking. But he got linked up into this whole network in India, and they said, we want to try giving this to Westerners. And they're fascinated because generally most of the meditators out in the South Indian jungles are men, mm-hmm. and very few of the siddhas are female. And so of our group, the majority actually are female. And
well,
they're finding
great.
That quite fascinating. And they're kind of psychically hanging over us. Every now and then I see them looking in. And they're watching.
Wow, that's
and we're
great.
We're the only people outside India or outside, you know, that little area there, India, Tibet, whatever, that have actually taken these particular herbs. So I've been feeling really so different. So I can't really say what's going on the planet, but I can certainly see that I'm going through something big.
Well, and that brings me to another point. Well, I just want to compliment you as well, because you've been such a warrioress about trying all these different things to keep yourself growing and learning. And my understanding of the shift, it really is the accumulation of individual shifts, like you're talking about, releasing old programs and releasing the subconscious tyrannies and so on, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I felt that I was uniquely helped as far as these herbs was concerned because I've done my emotional work.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who were on this program who have not done their emotional work, who've basically just kind of been ignoring their emotional body, not dealing with stuff on the emotional level, basically just trying to meditate it off or just be busy and achieve it, you know, achieve stuff and ignore it, had to go through the most intense stuff.
Mm-hmm. I bet it just knocked
you. Really had to go through all sorts of emotional highs and lows and stuff like that, which I didn't have to experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful for that because, heck, I've gone through it for decades. So
and on and
so
on.
So it's nice being able to get the lift and to get the high from it, the really beautiful high that I've been having.
Oh, wow. This is exciting, Ginger.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very curious about what Galexis has to say about the shift and how we're doing and what does it really mean anyway? And there are a few other things.
Okay, so I think then maybe I should just kind of get out of the way and let Galexis come in and talk to you about that.
I think that would be great because we have to get into a little bit of politics, and I know Galexis is not afraid of that either.
No. Okay, so
Galexis for president.
Oh, now that'd be interesting, a non-physical entity as president. It'd probably be just as effective.
I was going to say we already have a non-apparent entity that's running things, so we may as well have a non-physical one.
There you go. Okay, I'm heading out. So it was good talking with you, and enjoy Galexis.
Thank you. Wonderful talking to you.
All right, we are here.
Hello, welcome to the show. It's wonderful to talk to you again.
Well, hello, dear Veronica. Pleasure to be speaking with you and all your friends again.
Great. It's wonderful to know that we're going to get a little perspective from you. Are we?
All right. Whatever perspective you'd like, we will certainly look at it.
Well, and as I mentioned to Ginger, I'm kind of curious. Here it is, August, and I'm wondering how the shift is going. Are we actually making it? How long do you see this shift going for? And what do you think is happening in the kind of core of human consciousness?
Well, there's a very strong transformational energy going on this year. and people are responding to it in various ways. There are a lot of people who are choosing to check out and, okay, we're going to leave the planet now. Others are going through a tremendous deep reevaluations and changes, and other people are finding that whatever they're doing, what their passion is, it's just kind of been taking off, been very, very busy, lots of things going on, lots of input, lots of distractions, lots of stimulation. This year is just a huge acceleration of a year. Now, there are points during the year where there are lows and highs. There are points where there are pauses, and then there's points of greater acceleration. And right now, at this particular time, we're just coming out of a quiet place, of a pause kind of energy. And it's often you find pause energy in a summer, you know, vacation time period, but in this sense, it was like even deeper. It was a kind of a quiet before the action. We hesitate to say storm because it's not necessarily a negative thing that's coming, but there's a lot of activity coming. Mm-hmm. And if you're not oriented, if you're not aligned and feel centered and grounded in yourself, you can get really pulled here and there and scattered and stressed when all the energies pick up again, which they will be doing soon. For throughout this fall, the energies will be picking up. They may be kind of crashing down, picking up, crashing down. There's like peaks and valleys that are a little bit more extreme than particularly through August, September, October. It's just a little bit more extreme.
And then it'll be election time. Oh, my gosh.
And then it's November election time, right? So there's like all this energy building up politically in the U.S. for the election. There's all this gearing up and stuff. And we would say that on the part of the general population who is not actively in one way or another involved directly in the elections or in the in their party's activities or whatever, there's also a great sense of dread.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fear that whatever's coming, and whatever's coming for the United States is not going to be all that pleasant over the next few months. And,
well, you know, Galexis, don't you think that we have been living kind of like the Book of Revelations with the awareness of all the swindles and the deceptions in money and government? I think people just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's true. And part of the energy of the age is that there's got to be greater transparency or greater awareness of what's going on and greater accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, most people are just tired of all the craziness.
Mm-hmm.
They're tired of all the bad energy and bad intentions of politicians.
And the greed.
And the greed, well, that too, but the greed is not manifested as much in the politicians as it is manifested by the big corporations. It's like the whole thing with the banks and the whole recession and everything. It's just wearying, you know, and people are dreading, okay, now here we have elections and we've got to make decisions about the economy and we've got to choose the person or whatever, and it looks like there's such extreme choices. We're going to get either non-action or we're going to get extreme action or whatever. And these people are just, in a sense, really exhausted and tired and dreading it.
Mm-hmm. And there's...
we don't... Yes?
There have been so many predictions saying that we're all going to be running around and shooting each other for food in a while. And there are some people that are really bought into that as well. So there's a lot of marketed... I don't know whether we would call it mind control, but I think it's... Media or information driving people's thoughts and feelings so they don't feel as strong.
Well,
or
that's
potent.
Been going on for quite a while. You know, it's just that it's being done more intensely in a more of an accelerated way and more as a result of a tremendous marketing studies of what affects people's thinking. So all the advertisements that you see on TV, and you get, even some of the more sophisticated ones that you get as spam in your email, are targeted specifically by the virtue of the fact that they understand their market really well. And so they know how to target your weakness. They know how to target your longing, your craving, and that kind of thing. And they know how to cover up the information that you need to know.
So how do you recommend people deal with that? I mean, what do you think we ought to do?
Well, people have to remember that when they see an advertisement, that they just, it's like take it with a grain of salt. Realize it is just, look at it. Here's the way to look at it, is look at it as a marketing piece. Look at the style of marketing. Look at how they're saying it. Look how they're flashing the lights at you to kind of get your brain to imprint with it, you know? If you remember back 20 years ago, how slow and easy and simple advertisements were.
Oh, yes.
But now with technology, they're very fast, very just speedy, and they really are tuned them to brain waves.
It's a little bit
more
scary.
Lights.
It's a little bit scary when you watch people's brains being used instead of people themselves being able to use
them.
Well,
the key here is to not go unconscious. The key is to remain aware that this is an advertisement and that it is entertaining, and in its entertainment it hopes to sweep you into its world and make you unconscious so that you will accept the message. You see, so you get that. Now, politicians are going to be doing the same thing.
They already are.
Their ads are going to be the same way, except they're not going to have as much entertainment value. They're going to be much more judging, criticism, and fear-based. And, you know, your friend who is thinking that everyone's going to go shoot everybody else is, of course, reacting to all these recent shootings, like at the Sikh temple and, you know, and so on. And the Colorado movie theater, these people are people who are just flipping out. They've lost their control. And it's generally a very few people in the population. But that template of fear and dread, which we're talking about, it's interpreted by people to mean that there's going to be chaos, pain, suffering, violence. And what else could they possibly think? Because what are the majority of TV shows that are not, if they're not a sitcom, what are they? They're generally some kind of like cop show.
Yeah, CSI, LA.
And lots of violence and lots of focus on criminals and how they think and how vicious they are and so on. And the movies, you know, big run of violent movies and so on. So people tend to have gotten really overloaded with this whole violence. And so now here comes the election and all the negativity and all the hate and all the anger and all the rage, you know, and stuff. It's a bit much for people.
It's tremendous.
So we'd almost suggest that people just turn off their TVs or just use some system where they just record the shows that they want to watch.
That's a good idea, yeah. It's really amping up. But some people are going, you know, it's so disgusting that it's pushing them into a lighter, more sensitive way of being. I think there's that possibility there.
Well, those who are ready are lifting out of it. And that's, those people are the conscious people who don't buy into it and who don't judge it. You see, if you start to judge it, dread it, fear it, resist it, then, and we've talked about this before, you have a tendency to attract more of it into your life.
That's right. So staying neutral.
So it's really important to just kind of relax with it, not to take it all seriously, and in a sense not to take yourself and your self-importance seriously. Just realize it's all going to flow, and just stay conscious that you are a light being, a powerful reality creator, and that everything out here can be affected by your choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you see, most people don't realize this is an illusion you're living in.
It's hard to know what to do with that.
Is there anybody else in...
It's hard to know what it's hard to know what to do with that statement that it's all an illusion, isn't it, in a way?
All right, let's explain a little bit. An illusion is a show that is temporary.
Right.
It's not permanent.
Okay.
It's not something you can rely on. It's something that's continuously changing. Everything that's changing also is constructed specifically for you. Right? This whole reality is constructed for you.
Okay.
You may be the only person that exists. This is all constructed for you so that you can play, so you can learn, so you can grow, so you can make choices, so you can discover what you want, so you can understand yourself.
Right.
So you get feedback from your reality. And you respond to that, and your reality will respond back to you. And that's what it is. It's like a movie screen that's just beyond the tips of your fingers.
Hmm.
If you stretch your arm out, it's just right there. You're in a bubble, and there's a movie that's going along around the bubble, and it has three dimensions, and it looks real. It's a wonderful hologram, and you're right in the middle of it, and it's totally, totally real. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you select what you prefer with love, and you don't take this whole thing so seriously as a reflection that something's wrong with you, you'll find that you can very subtly, and initially it's for you, you'll find that your life will go better.
Hmm.
Now, out there, still mayhem, craziness, sadness, violence, and suffering, but your own personal life can go way better. It's almost like you can create a kind of cocoon of happiness
mm-hmm.
to live in. But you have to understand, it is created by magic. Magic is fifth dimension, right? Seventh dimension. Mm-hmm. Magic is seventh dimension.
Okay.
Magic and energy. And magic and energy work together to create the synchronicities that line up with your intentions. Now, if it were your conscious mind working in 3D reality, you would see directly and immediately whatever you're thinking, whatever you're choosing, whatever you're feeling would happen, bang, just like so.
Hmm.
But it doesn't happen that way. You created time, and the time stretches everything out so you can look at it. This is perfect for your growth. If everything happened instantaneously, could you grow? Could you grow before you immolated yourself?
Hmm.
Because if it happened instantaneously, you'd have a death wish, bang, you're gone. Right? So you wanted time to give you time to look at and evaluate your choices, to explore with more depth what you feel, what you think, what you believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you will understand that that is an important thing to do, to pause, to slow down, to get deep within yourself and understand more who you are, what you want, what you really want, what really is of value and importance to you, what's your priorities, what's your sense of order, starting with the ideal, looking at what it is that is so important that it matters to you, and focus there on building that. And what will happen is, with time and the magic unseen, because the magic works in the unconscious mind. Your conscious mind cannot see the magic work because the magic is in the unconscious. The unconscious is the translation place.
Okay.
Between energy and thought and physical matter. That's what the scientists were saying. We found tracks of the God particle. The God particle, that's the one that translates from light to matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's in your unconscious mind. And it's huge. But that's where the magic happens. But it is under the directive of your conscious mind. if you hold a resonance of love for yourself and value and caring for others and love for your planet and a willingness to have what it is you want to have, and you just kind of move gently and easily and without too much hassle or freak out or without, you know, more of a neutral state, more just a expectation state. I know magic's happening behind the scenes. I'm just going to rely on it. I know it's there, and that I will get to this place. I will get to this happier, greater, more fulfilling place. What happens is that magic will indeed work as long as you can hold that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so most people we have found have a tremendous difficulty being able to hold that energy when they're not seeing the reaction and results in their physical plane.
Exactly, and we get tweaked by all the information that's coming
at
us. And
so that's when all the fear mongers, all the politics, all the craziness, all the financial worries and everything all just come crowding in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, well, wait a minute, I had this wonderful view of the world, of people loving each other, of peace and harmony, and I want and loving, and I love everyone, and this is what I want, and this is what I'm willing to have, and I'm really ready for it. So why am I still getting these kind of negative images out there? And so we want to say, just realize that you have time. So it takes time to line everything up.
So
your guides are working full time for you, lining stuff up for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that you, or whatever it is, let us put it this way, that you expect.
It's our pack group, right?
Okay.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, So they're lining it up. And if you can just keep the resonance and keep the trust that it's part of the divine plan that you're going to be successful and happy and feel good, then allow it
mm-hmm.
to unfold for you. But most people get sabotaged somewhere in the way. And shoot themselves in the foot by going back into fear, contracting, going to rage, anger, and then, of course, this is where all your issues come up, and if you haven't worked on your issues, by golly, you have to face them again.
Mm-hmm.
And so people generally think, well, you know, I just can't seem to do it, and they kind of start giving up on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking, oh, if only I could win the lottery, you know, if only some magic could drop out of heaven and take care of all my woes, you know. So and when you get to that state, you're really separated from your reality.
Hmm. Well, I have two directions I want to ask questions. That was wonderful. Thank you
for that.
All
right, let's go there.
When we talk about it, there's a lot of people just leaving the planet. Are they leaving to help from the other side to become guides? Are they leaving just to get the heck out of here? How does all that work for people to understand soul journey?
Well, a lot of people are leaving because they have been here through the period of time that they wanted to explore.
Okay.
Some of them will be guides and mentors on the other side. Some of them are leaving because they can see that things are coming that are changing and very radically, and that they've done what they have chosen to do as far as the shift is concerned. They've put it in motion, and so they're going to leave, and they're going to come back
when
it's already shifted to play.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different purposes why people are leaving at this time.
Hmm. You know, we've also heard that there are many beings from different galactic centers and so on observing this time. Is that what you see as well?
Oh, yes. Everybody's around. If you had any clue how many beings are just around watching and just all excited about this, and also some who are actually taking on physical form as well.
And showing up on the planet in 3D?
And showing up on the planet.
Mm-hmm. In HD,
and,
3D?
in 3D, yes. Yeah. Actually showing up in 3D.
Okay.
And just observing, but also beginning to participate a little bit here and there. But the thing is that because it's a free will universe, they're really supporting your free will, your choices.
Hmm.
And so it's up to you to make positive choices. What they're here for is to observe how you're handling your emotional body.
Hmm.
Because the emotional body on people in Earth, it's just exquisite. At this particular stage of evolution, your emotional body is going through the transformation from the third, fourth levels up into the fifth levels.
Oh, my.
And this is a profound transformation, which is going to bring you into a greater dimensionality consciously. Okay. And that's just part of the plan. It's just, you know. You're doing it.
And our greater dimensionality, will that give us access to more universal interaction, like traveling through dimensions?
Absolutely. But you see, if you've noticed, you don't get there until emotionally you're powerfully light enough. If your emotions are light, mm-hmm. and love, mm-hmm. you can get there. It's a self-weeding out system, right? Mm-hmm. People who want to focus on the pain and the suffering, they want to focus on the rage and the anger, they want to focus on the fears and the terrors, and feel sorry for themselves for all their hurts and blame somebody else for their woes, these people are going to take longer to get there. But it's their free will. It's their choice to stew around in their emotional stuff. The planet has been given, or at least the humans on the planet, has been given the option to come up to another dimensional level of resonance, but it takes work on the emotional body. And so that's what is being observed, because there's a lot of emotional breakthrough, emotional healing, emotional awakening that's happening now.
There really is, isn't there? So how many people, what percentage of our population has to really get that freedom in order to make a big quantum shift? Is a percentage?
Well, when you're looking at the collective, you've got to realize that there is a tipping point.
Okay.
In the collective. Mm-hmm. You know, what do they call? They called it the 100th monkey. Right,
right.
So there's a certain point at which the imprint of those leaders is making it throughout the rest of the population enough on the belief system level, because the belief system is where you got your limitations of what you can perceive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it expands the belief of what is possible. And as long as people in general cannot even imagine or believe, then it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is that you're going to get to a place where the majority of people, for example, are going to believe in the extraterrestrials. In fact, it's starting to happen now.
Yay!
Right. It's starting to come. That because of telling each other or whatever, there's this kind of sense of growing sense of belief in that, not just in the possibility, but in the probability, right? And when it reaches a certain point, that belief then will become what it might be, you might say, an accepted belief. And then as soon as it becomes an accepted belief, then you're going to see all the evidence that it's true.
So then the beings, the ETs, will be able to show up more easily.
They will be able to show up, right? But they can't do it until we as a human race, let's put it that way, can really acknowledge that, hey, we're willing to open up to this possibility. We're willing to be present with that. But at this point right now, it's coming close to almost half of the population in some places fully believe in extraterrestrial activity, UFOs, et cetera, et cetera, right? And when it comes to about two-thirds, it's just going to become an accepted belief. And then people won't be so panic-stricken about it. Right now, if an ET suddenly showed up in their, you know, in their reality and they saw one, they would absolutely go into total panic.
Even if they believed in them, right?
Huge panic. They'd totally be scared, and there's a panic that comes from experiencing something that what you call alien, You know, it's just so alien. It's so terrifying. It creates a sense of extreme separation anxiety.
Hmm.
So right now, most people would just absolutely panic if they were to see one. But in not too distant future, people are not going to panic.
I'd like that so much.
Because it's going to become accepted that they're there and they're just kind of wandering around. You might actually see one. You might. More and more people are seeing UFOs now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And then now, more of us will get to travel out there with them too, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But also, we want to point out too that some of the UFOs, a lot of UFOs actually, are spacecraft from the future.
Oh. Oh, so there we break the time.
Right. The time barrier is going to be broken, too. But it's spacecraft from the future. And it's like a U.S. Air Force from the future.
Hmm.
Now you're thinking, well, wait a minute. U.S. Air Force, you know, the attitude of the military towards, you know, ETs and towards anything that they're going to think anything that's different is threatening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be violent. Well, no, not in the future.
Hmm.
It's going to be a whole different vibration in the future. But you, as a human race, those of you who are the leaders, and we would say leaders here not in the sense of you're standing up in front of thousands of people and are on TV, the leaders of consciousness who are willing to expand their awareness to include the oneness, to be able to move that intention and choice into manifestation,
mm.
who are to be the outer, what you might say, to push the outer limits of love, the rule of love, instead of rule of law and order, love.
Mm-hmm.
It's love. It's all about love.
Mm. Right? I love thinking about that.
As you stretch your consciousness, stretch your consciousness, you are actually leading the collective. That's, in a sense, for many of you, that's your job.
Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking that there are light workers or people stretching consciousness, as you say, in extreme right Christianity, in the Muslim, in all the different compartments,
the most traditional and most fundamentalist religious places. There are people who are starting to stretch it.
Yeah, I like to think they're
rising.
There
are people who are there. Yeah, and they, of course, for a while, there are going to be people there running into fundamentalist religions as a hideout.
Mm-hmm.
Because fundamentalist religions are law and order based.
Right.
You know, they got rules and lots of limitations. And in a sense, religions are initially a way of controlling the emotions anyway,
mm-hmm.
of people. And it's a way to run from the emotions. But eventually everybody's going to have to deal with their emotional body,
mm-hmm.
and have to look at emotional freedom and what it means to be a human being and be free and how to love other people as well as themselves.
That's a big job for a lot of us, isn't it?
It's a big job.
Yeah.
And those of you who are leading this, who are maybe the more radical, you know, people who may seem to be more woo-woo and out there, you need to work with your emotional body. You need to get rid of the rage. You need to get rid of the anger. You need to get rid of the resentments, the fears. You need to get rid of the judgments that are in there so that you can lead, the rest of the planet. And the sooner you do that, the faster and the more accelerated the spiritual growth and the shift will be.
Well, how's your perspective on that? Are you seeing that a lot of people are doing it?
Yes, a lot more than before. It's growing vastly. A lot of people are finally waking up. Hey, I've got to take charge of my emotions. I can't be a slave, a prisoner to my fear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to take charge.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to deal with this. I've got to learn how to let go. I've got to learn how to love. I've got to learn how to care. I've got to learn how to empower myself. You see. Now, the shift, a lot of people think is happening in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been this deadline. Oh, my gosh, December 2012, that's the shift. That's a shift. That's a shift. And so people are looking at it as if it's a linear thing.
Mm-hmm.
and that this is where the pivot is. Well, the pivots are happening all the time. People are already pivoting. And by pivoting, we mean shifting their direction, shifting their perspective, shifting their spiritual capacity into a new enlightened directions. People are already going through shifts.
Mm-hmm.
People are already going through the great shift.
But also as on a physical level, they've had to, too. Many people losing homes and money and all of that kind of stuff have created a different kind of
shift. Right. Having to let go of the past has been one of the most difficult issues for people over the past 3 years,
mm-hmm.
3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
With the financial thing really brought people down out of the pie-in-the-sky mentality back down to earth and say, oh, my gosh, what is important?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to survive now. And brought people back to themselves, their families, and so on. But it was a necessary thing for a lot of people to let go, that a lot of people will not let go of the past unless it's taken from them.
Mm-hmm. That makes
sense. A lot
of
people need to move on. And on their soul level, they've made an arrangement. I've got to move on now into this new direction. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Well, if they don't take care of it responsibly in their emotional body, then something has to happen to really tweak that emotional body to get them to move forward, to grow, right? And sometimes it means loss.
Yeah, so they can be knocked to their knees more than once, sort of thing.
Right. These are people who've had more than one wake-up call, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like, okay, time to really majorly change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who are not going through financial privation and suffering have found it going through their health issues or find it going through relationship issues. And if people don't have it going through those three issues, they find themselves really experiencing grander levels of love, of perception, of awakening, and that's where you're heading anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do it proactively, then you can make the shift with more ease and elegance. But if you wait to go kicking and screaming with what we call the kick-ass school of growth, right? Then it will require you to be the hero and live according to the old paradigm, the old archetypal story of the one who has to crash everything and then is the phoenix rising from the ashes, taking the power and being the warrior and so on. And this whole story, this whole collective, archaic, archetypal story is being repeated in people's personal lives. But if you were to say, wait a minute, how about a new story?
Mm-hmm.
How about that I go into greater awakening, regardless of my external environment? You know, I'm not going to let my external environment or even my health, you know, interfere with my spiritual journey.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to go for it. I'm going to get my emotional body into bliss. I'm going mm-hmm. to get into freedom. I'm going to explore what life is past judgment. Judgment of others, and especially judgment of self. I'm going to find what it's like on the other side. I'm going to get free. And if you can do that, then it's almost like your outer environment, then you can see it as the illusion. It no longer is so real, and it's no longer in your face and affecting you as much. You can handle financial crises and health crises
mm-hmm.
with incredible aplomb, like the masters do.
Because it's a witnessing process instead of an emotional reaction.
An observing. Yes, you're observing and you're loving.
Mm.
You see, instead of being a victim of it and flailing about and having to fight your way through.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
I'm going to jump back to your talking about some of the UFOs that we were talking about. Life is an illusion, which you're talking about again in a different level.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're talking about UFOs, and some are actually from the future. And I'm going, and we've constructed time, and I'm going, oy vey, my brain's going, it's hard to know that everything is an illusion and then make a decision on whether that's a UFO from the future. You know what I'm saying? It's like my brain went,
right. Well, that's not a decision to be made,
oh, okay.
actually. How can you make a decision when you don't have the information or the knowledge? Right? So you, what you want to do is expand your perception mm-hmm. into greater levels of knowing. And how do you get greater levels of knowing? It is through your gut level sensing.
Right. Okay.
Most people, if they will pause and listen to their soul, they will listen to their body. The body is a very sensitive tuned instrument specific for you.
It sure is.
It has the capacity to give you messages. And if you don't listen to the messages, then it'll give them stronger messages. But it'll give you messages in the body. And mm-hmm. and people who are highly intuitive say, I just have a hunch. I have a feeling. I feel it in my gut. It's mm-hmm. I just know, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how you're going to perceive. You're also going to communicate through telepathy. Telepathy and gut-level knowing, it's a different way of relating. And when you get more and more into that, you'll see more and more how your reality is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's an illusion, you can have whatever in the illusion you want in the illusion, as long as you don't give your realness away to it. It can come. In other words, if you don't make a big deal over it, you can have lots of money. If you don't stress yourself out, worry about it, and hassle about it, you can have things, right? You can have these things. But the point is not to be attached to them mm-hmm. because you're moving into a greater realm of perception.
Also, if you remember, I said something about the media kind of taking over people's minds. If we're more
yes.
telepathic and if we're more sensitive in our body, we can even collectively move out of that, can't we? More easily.
Oh, certainly. Well, first you move individually out of it, because if you listen to if you're telepathic and intuitive and really connected with your own inner knowing and you listen to an ad, you'll feel the conflict mm-hmm. of truth in there. You'll feel the deception.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
You won't buy into it.
We just got a thing on Facebook. Bob's reminding me where apparently there's an awful lot. Well, see, I think I would have known this already. But in any case, there's an awful lot of deception in food, which is, for example, blueberry muffin mix has no blueberries in it at all. It only has colored sugar blobs and that sort of thing. Anyway, people have been fairly shocked over this thing. But I think we already knew that. But it is a good
right.
example, isn't it?
It's a good example. And if you watch TV and they advertise, some food, or they advertise this, they advertise a drug, a medicine,
mm-hmm.
right? And you'll feel it. Mm-hmm. You'll feel how it doesn't align with you. You feel how it doesn't work with you. You're not affected by the ads, right? And this is going to be the same with the political ads, too. It's not going to affect you.
Mm-hmm. What about
you're going to say, there they are acting like, idiots as usual. And loving them all just the same. These just these beautiful people trying to get power, trying to climb on top of everybody else and grab some power and fight their way up. And the old paradigm, I can see people feel the need to be in the old paradigm. Okay, fine.
It seems like the old paradigm has spiraled through so many times. I think a lot of people cogitate that and go, well, maybe that's just the way it is on this planet. Do you think that's so?
Well, that's the way the collective functions. Of course, the group mind.
Mm-hmm.
The group mind says this is the way it is. And you'll find many people who are trying to convince themselves that they are in alignment with the group mind and therefore are successful. And so they will say, this is the way it is. You'll find people who became billionaires through all sorts of interesting, creative, imaginative, and absolutely magical ways, who, when asked, how did you get here? Oh, diligence and hard work and persistence, right? And they will totally forget the magic of receiving, the capacity of dreaming, how they allowed themselves to have it, how they how they responded to their opportunities. They don't talk about that stuff. They go back to the collective, the little, you know, the little linear rationale and say, okay, it must have been that.
That's so that they can belong, and that's a big danger, isn't it?
Right. They want to say something that everybody will say, oh, yes. Yes, oh, yes, he or she is so smart. They're
so he so has
nice.
To be a good person.
No, you have to be really have a lot of energy and work really hard.
And
I
know this is an illusion. It's coming from our minds and so on. But do you see a new economic system emerging? You talked about the phoenix. Do you see communities developing and new systems that love the earth developing?
Yeah, that's happening. It's already happening.
And that
it's the seeds are already sprouting. They're already available everywhere. People don't go out and seek them out because they're so overwhelmed with their daily lives. But it's happening everywhere. It's happening all over the place, even in places you would not think it's happening, like in desert Africa or in remote villages in the Middle East. It's happening everywhere. It's a turning point that is coming, and it is building, and it is part of the choice that the human race made that, yes, we will make this turn. We will, save and heal the planet. But first, in order to do that, we have to create extremism. We have to get people to be aware of it, and people are not aware of it until it gets to be an extreme thing.
Mm-hmm.
While it's still subtle, and while it's not happening in your neck of the woods, you don't pay much attention to it. But when it comes, when it directly affects you, and it seems, and it's an extremist kind of thing, you know, the light versus the dark, you know, good versus evil, and all that kind of stuff. That's what brings people's attention to it, to where they can make choices. So that's why sometimes you have to have extreme politics, extreme greed on the part of the corporations, extreme laws like this, to put in laws that and interpret laws in such a way that are of danger to the population, right?
Mm-hmm.
It creates, you know, people saying no, no, and objections. And while that may sometimes seem to be futile, it really isn't. It's really about creating awareness so that people can make a choice of their preference.
And they get charged up enough to be out of their numbness, probably.
That to get them out of their numbness, because look at how much you have to do to get people out of their numbness, because they're sitting there, you know, gone half asleep and unconscious in front of the TV set. So you've got to really get them up and get them, you know, aware and awake. It's all about awakening them, and sometimes people need a knock on the head. So that's part of what's going on now, and this year is probably a major year for knocks on the head. You're going to see a lot more positive things coming into awareness in the mainstream next year, in 2013.
Oh,
2013.
Good.
Nobody has been thinking about 2013. It's all been 2012, 2012, 2012.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what's happening in 2013, right?
Well, some people feel it'll be all over
2012?
By then.
Yes, that's right. People think, well, the world's gone by that time. No, no. It's a new beginning. What do you want it to be? Where do you want to go? You know, so people need to start thinking about that.
Well, and I know we have to end this, but it's so delightful to talk to you. And I keep seeing in my visions, my illusions, my magic, that there's a different kind of stock market going to be emerging that people can trust. You see that sort of thing?
Well, you have to realize the stock market is a legalized form of gambling to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was support for new industry.
It's not about trusting that those companies are going to be good and they're going to increase in value for you, but it's really about you saying, okay, what companies do I want to support, and let me put some energy there, mm-hmm. and let me allow myself to receive that benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good. You can when people start working with the stock market in a more conscious way, and just barely beginning, but you'll see it.
Oh, but it is beginning, right?
It is beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There are conscious people working in the stock market and figuring out the first ways on how to work with that. Money has been something that has gotten people so hooked up and so messed up.
Oh, yeah.
And so gotten all their priorities so screwed up by that this whole financial crash and this all this recession and all this financial stuff is really about resetting. And the resetting is happening. It is coming.
That's great. What wonderful news. Thank you so much for joining us again, Galexis. I know everyone at home is really enjoying all your information and your big heart.
You're certainly welcome. And we love talking with you. You always ask such intriguing questions. And so we hope that we can continue this conversation.
Oh, let's just keep doing it. So thank you very much, and good night, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And this is Galexis speaking to you, galexisspirit.com. And I'm sure you have listed there when you do your evenings in L.A. and on the road, right?
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if anyone wants to be on the mailing list and learn about all these seminars where we talk about these things in depth and give people techniques on how to handle it, they can just go to Galexis Spirit and look at the Love and Healing audio downloads.
Yes, and they're wonderful. Well, I thank you so much, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Paradigm Shifters. Any feedback, you can email me, Veronica, at VeronicaEntwistle, no H in Entwistle, .com. Love to hear from you. Good night, and many blessings.